the outline of this talk, I shall talk briefly about the motivation behind the approach we have taken in the modifications on DSR, and I shall go through briefly over DSR. I mean, we have heard the name DSR quite a few times. I shall go through it briefly, and then I shall go through our modifications that we have done. Then we compare the performance of our version and the original DSR version. I shall then go through some of the many related works, and I shall conclude, and then we shall see some scope for future work. The motivation behind our approach: due to the dynamics of ad hoc networks, like be it be due to the mobility of nodes, or due to the quality of the intervening medium, or even due to network topology, we feel that we need to have efficient alternate route discovery. We need to have efficient route discovery, and we need to have efficient alternate route discovery, so that when a route fails, that is, when an intermediate node detects that a link has failed, it should be able to read out packets efficiently and not have to drop those packets or something worse. So we aim to have alternate routes available when a route fails. Probably that is the best case. So that when a node detects that a link has failed, so that it can read out all packets instead of dropping them. So we aim to have alternate routes computed beforehand in cache. And another issue we look at is, can we reuse existing routes? That means, when a node detects that a route has failed, that means it cannot reach its next hop, how much of the original route can we reuse in the new route that it uses? That means, if we can introduce minimal changes to the original route, we probably get quite a few advantages of that. We'll go over in detail later on this. So the reasons behind this is, we feel that the original route is more likely to be valid. The intermediate node has detected that a link has failed. That doesn't mean that the entire route has failed. So we want to keep the rest of the route intact, or we aim to keep the rest of the route intact, introducing minimal changes. This is also, I mean, this may also be helpful if we have some resource reservation, like we have some bandwidth reservation, for example, in the entire route. So if we are reusing some part of the route, we are actually using the reserved bandwidth and not wasting it by trying to reserve some bandwidth in some entirely new route. And if we can introduce minimal changes to the original route, then we have a better chance of getting a new reservation in that minimally changed part of the route. We also look at another issue is, if we have multiple alternate routes, which is most often the case, we have multiple alternate routes. So we try to do load balancing among those alternate routes instead of transmitting, or instead of rerouting all packets through a single route. The original DSR protocol mainly has two phases: the route discovery phase and the route maintenance phase. When a source node wants to send a packet, it looks up its cache to see if it has a route to the destination. If it doesn't have, it broadcasts the route request packet, and the route request packet can be replied to by an intermediate node if that node has a cached route to the destination, or it has to reach the destination, and the destination will reply to the source with the entire source route in the packet. So the intermediate node, which has a route to the destination, will reply with a route reply packet, or the destination will reply to the source. And as Charles was talking today morning about AODV, so DSR also does unicast while doing a route reply, and it does a route reply in the same route it was taken for the route, it was taken by the route request, so that it uses only bidirectional links. And as part of route maintenance, they actually don't do much. When a node detects that the link has failed, it sends the source a route error packet stating which link has failed. This was the original DSL version. We look at a few modifications that were done beforehand. So these are the current modifications, and like they are available in different versions of DSR available. So as I said, it uses bidirectional routes to allow the RTS/CKS data exchange between neighbors. And in DSR, and yeah, it can be in any protocol, nodes are set to work in promiscuous mode. That means even if packets are not destined to a node, the node can overhear packets and it can use any information that it may find useful in that packet. It also uses cache for alternate routes. That means when a route fails, that means when a link fails, the node detecting the failure can look up its cache to see if it has a route to the destination and use that route if it has one. And when an intermediate node forwards a data packet, it can actually snoop into the packet header, and again, it can read any of those information if it finds useful. And again, yeah, in the morning, Charles was talking something about AODV, that when an intermediate node gets a route request packet, if it gets it the same route request packet more than once, it will discard the successive route request packets in AODV. But that is not the case in DSR. In DSR, if an intermediate node gets a route request packet from the same source more than once, it actually has a delay, and it will, if the second route request packet comes in that amount of time, it will discard it. But after a certain amount of time, it will actually time out and it will accept the next route request packet, and it will broadcast again. So that is in DSR. So our first modification, as I was talking about, is about reuse of existing routes. Here in the scenario here, we look at a node S transmitting to a destination D, and we suppose that this link fails. This was the original route. That means the original route is shown by continuous arrows. If that link fails, the current DSR implementation will try to find a route to the destination D. What we propose instead is, let us see if node S has an alternate route to this node. And if it doesn't have one to this node, let us see if we can have one to this node, and then we move further towards the destination. So if we have an alternate route to this node, that means we are actually reusing this part of the route. And as I said earlier, the advantages are this link has failed doesn't mean these links have failed. And I think we can assume that those links haven't failed. So instead of trying to discover an entirely new route, we are using an existing valid route. The other is, if we have bandwidth reservation over that part of the route, that will require like implicit or explicit tear down of that reservation if we don't use that route. That means if we use an entirely new route from here, these bandwidth or whatever resource reservations have to be timed out. Yeah. Yeah, this route may have any number of links. Yeah, yeah. And as I said, if we introduce minimal changes here, it's more likely that we will be able to get a new reservation. It's more probable that we will get it than we can get it here. The second modification is introducing load balancing into DSR. We look at this scenario. The three dark nodes are the three sources of data transfers, and these are the three unique separate data flows represented by dark arrows. If this link fails, we were talking about using alternate routes. So this node can actually use that alternate route shown by dotted arrows to reach this node. Now, what happens due to this is this node would be rerouting all packets of this source through this link. That means this link is going to be the bottleneck link. And this node may start dropping packets of both these two sources. That means what we are doing is this link is failed and it starts dropping packets of this node, which we don't want. So we propose instead is, since we have multiple alternate routes in most cases, let us try to do load balancing. That means this node will read out half of the packets to that alternate route and half to this alternate route. So as we say here, it will minimize interference, and the original data flow, we give it more priority than rerouted flows. So as shown in the example, multiple alternate routes, we are using them in round robin order. And we have done some updates to the caching mechanism that is used in DSR. We snoop into a source route. That means when an intermediate node forwards the data packet, it snoops into the source route and gets a route to the source. And this is in addition to what DSR does. And we also, when we remove routes from cache, we try to preserve routes that are currently in use. The third modification is about route reservation. So this is something also regarding which we have talked quite a bit today. And one assumption we make here is a node is able to measure the available bandwidth. So the node is able to, due to interference or whatever, we are not taking the task of measuring the available bandwidth. So we assume that a node be it any resource, it need not be bandwidth. So a node knows how much resource it has. So based on that assumption, we want a source node, when it wants to start a data transfer, to reserve that resource, for our case, reserve bandwidth, through the entire route before it actually starts a transfer. So as Charles was saying today morning, that we can use route request packets for QoS purposes, and we have done something similar. So the route request packets can specify, and in our case, they specify the bandwidth required. So the source nodes specify in the route request packet the bandwidth that they need. And an intermediate node forwards the packet. That means rebroadcasts a route request packet only if it has or it can give that amount of bandwidth to the source node. And since we want the entire route to be reserved beforehand, route request packets need to reach the destination. So that means we don't allow intermediate nodes to reply to a route request packet from cache. And we use three timeout values to tear down reservations. We don't explicitly remove a reservation. So this is the route reply timeout. This is a timeout value so when an intermediate node has seen a route request packet and has reserved that amount of bandwidth, but it does not see a route reply packet during that amount of time, it will then tear down the reservation. That means something went wrong between the current node and the destination. So for some reason, the destination this source route cannot be used. And this is the timeout is, this thing comes when an intermediate node has seen both a route request and route reply, but still it cannot be sure that route will be used, because that means something went wrong between the source and the current node, maybe because some link was unidirectional or some node moved off or some similar reason. And this is the data timeout. That means some source was using a particular route for transmitting packets, but for some reason, probably it got a shorter route, it started using a separate route. So intermediate nodes that won't be receiving packets from the source will time out once this value expires. Now, we don't actually remove a reservation as soon as these values expire, but we remove the reservations if the value has expired and some source node has asked for a reservation, but we don't have that reservation. So that means we need more bandwidth and someone is not using it. The fourth modification to DSR is about implicit route reservation on alternate routes. So we have talked about alternate routes and how we can use them for rerouting packets. So, and we're talking about route reservation in the original routes. So when we reroute packets through alternate routes, we want some amount of bandwidth reservation in those routes also. And but we cannot again reserve the entire bandwidth on alternate routes. In that case, the bandwidth will be wasted if there is no node movement. So what we can do instead is we can explicitly reserve bandwidth on alternate routes as we are doing for normal routes. But we don't want to do it explicitly because one is due to control overhead, control packet overhead, and another reason is most likely the alternate route won't be used for long. So we don't want to spend too much effort on that. And also if an intermediate node while rerouting packets tries to get a new reservation, that means those packets will see more delay in their transmission. So we don't want to do it when a packet is waiting to be transmitted. So what we do instead is we reserve some bandwidth to be shared by all rerouted flows. So we do it beforehand that this fraction of the entire bandwidth is to be shared by alternate flows and the rest is available for normal reservations. So what we have done here is, so this is the observation that I was talking about. I mean, in most cases, two or more alternate routes are available. So we have kept 2/3 of the bandwidth for normal flows, and we have kept 1/3 of the bandwidth for each link to be shared by all alternate flows. The performance comparison, so we have 50 node network, 900 seconds simulation time, 2 Mbps bandwidth, random weapon model, and we have a node speed between 0 and 20. I'm not sure about that problem with 0. I'm not sure if it showed up, but hopefully, I mean, I compared with DSR, so both our comparisons are on the same environment. And we have two areas, 1500 by 300 meters and 1800 by 1000 meters. The lesser area is for lower data rates, and we have used the bigger area for higher data rates. And we have used Network Simulator version 2.1b8a. In the performance comparison part, we talk of two versions of our protocol. Actually, one we call the QS version, one we call the non-QS version. The QS version incorporates all the modifications, and the non-QS version has everything other than the route reservation part. So in this graph, we have here the percentage of data packets dropped, and here we have the pause time. This is a graph for 10 data sources, each source sending at 256 bytes per second. So this is the QS version, and this is the non-QS version, and this is the DSR version. So as we see, like, our non-QS version is dropping around half the packets dropped by DSR. Yeah. Yeah. This is a graph for higher data rates, and here again we have the percentage of packets dropped, and here we have the data rate in bytes per second. We have, this is a for a pause time of 600 seconds, 20 sources, and 30 data flows. So here we have the QoS version here, and this is the DSL version. So as you see, it's quite a bit of improvement. For example, at 4096, we have DSL dropping around 60% packets, whereas we are dropping around little more than 10% of the packets. And we note here that we have actually a performance improvement when we go to higher data rates. That means 4096 is better than 1024 and 2048. This is because when we have a higher data rate, fewer number of source nodes actually get reservation. So since we the protocol gives fewer number of reservations, when a route fails, a more percentage of packets are able to be rerouted. In the lower data rate cases, we have a lower data rate. That means we can give reservation to more number of data flows. But when, due to mobility, when routes fail, we cannot read out so many of the packets. So we can read out more number of packets here because we have lesser number of flows in that case. Yeah, actually I have given it as this bytes per second. So it was, for example, 64 byte packets and 8 packets per second. This one was 128 byte packets, 4 packets per second. So this is a graph for individual flows. The earlier graphs were for collective results. This here we see the number of flows here, and here we have the percentage of data packets dropped. So this is for the DSL version, and this is for our QoS version. Here what we plot is the number of flows having percentage drop less than a certain percent. So here less than 10%, here we plot the value less than 20% and like that. So here we see that 5 flows for DSR had a percentage drop less than 10, and in our case it was 9. For less than 20%, DSR had 11 and we had 16, and like that. So this is for a data rate of 1024 bytes per second, 600 seconds pause time, 20 sources, and 30 data flows. Some related work, there is some work about neighborhood-aware source routing, which keeps track of the two-hop neighborhood. That means each node keeps track of the two-hop neighborhood. They use periodic hello packets, and so these hello packets carry link state information. Link state information is also carried by data and control packets. Alternate path routing, they route packets among through diverse alternate paths, and they also study the effect of route coupling in route coupling on alternate path routing. And these two are, as the names imply, they are like load sensitive, and they take into, while selecting a route, they take into account the load along that route. I mean, which is in contrast to our case, we, and in DSR, we select the shortest route. But these protocols take the least loaded route. And this is, we have talked about this, an in-band signaling framework for QoS in ad hoc networks. And this also we have seen today. This is a core extraction routing algorithm that uses a core of nodes which do the actual route computation on behalf of other nodes. So the conclusion of this talk, we have proposed a set of modifications like reusing existing routes, and we have introduce load balancing, route reservation, and implicit reservation into DSR. And we see that we have performance improvements over DSR for a variety of data rates and different mobilities. Some scope for future work, we can vary the implicit reservations. In this paper, we have said that we have actually fixed it as one-third. So one-third of the bandwidth at each link is to be shared by alternate flows. Instead of fixing it at one-third, we can vary it dynamically, probably based on the number of alternate routes available. And we can also add FEC to our protocol since, I mean, we have a relatively lesser data loss rate. We can probably use relatively less number of parity packets to reach a delivery ratio somewhere close to 100%. That's it, I guess. Any questions?